And this was Australia, from Perth to Bali, Garudi. You know what most people go to Bali for? A bit of holidays. So all these Australians were pressing their button. You could see all the buttons in the galley coming on. Give me another beer, give me another beer. He said, wait until the photo shoot is over. So they had to wait. And of course, when I went back to the yard, I got all these really glares from these people. You know, you made me wait for my beer. And they're like, are you anyway? But anyway, that was a very nice experience. But what I wanted to talk about now is how come these videos or these messages are so important in our world? Why are you coming here on a Friday night, braving the elements, coming all this way? Why? And it is because there's something which we can relate here, which we can teach, which is hard to find in other places. And what I'm going to be talking about this evening is how to relax. The title of this talk is Relax. Because that's sometimes something you see people in our modern world can't do. They can't know how to relax. All so busy doing things. I do a lot, but when it's time to relax, I relax. And how do you do this? Oh, first of all, I was very impressed when I was a young man seeing societies where people did know how to relax. They knew it. They practiced it. Yeah, they didn't achieve much in life except happiness and peace and love and fulfillment and fun. That's all they achieved. They never got PhDs, which you all know means permanent head damage. You never got lots and lots of money, which drives you crazy. You never got all that sort of stuff. But what you did get is, you know, what you're striving so much for. Just have a nice, relaxing, peaceful time. To know peace of the body, peace of mind. How valuable is that? And how much do you have to do to get that? Actually, absolutely nothing. And some of those societies which I lived in as a young monk, that's some of the things they taught me. Just how to be at peace and how to relax. I remember one of the stories. This, I never saw this myself, but this was told to me by one of my friends who was a monk. He was in Luang Prabang, the second city of Laos, during the war with the communists and the royalists. And this is actually how you relax. He was at one of these little restaurants. You know, they would follow every occupational health and safety regulation in Australia, but the food was delicious. You know, dirty, but great food, bamboo and thatch, that's all there was. And he'd go there for his lunch. He was sitting at a table eating some delicious meal, and he did notice there was a government soldiers. They were sitting at another table having their lunch with their M16, the old machine gun rifles, leaning against the wall. This was lunchtime. And he was enjoying his lunch when his heart almost stopped when he saw the communist soldiers came in. They called Pathet Lao at the time. These were the enemy. This was a war during the Vietnam War times. And the communists came in to the restaurant. And he went to dive under the table, but no one else was trying to escape or dive under the table because they saw the enemy troops, the communist troops. They just looked around and chose another table. They put their guns against the wall and they ordered their lunch. Because in Laos at that time, war always stops for lunch. Oh, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if even these days people get their priorities right and you'd always have a lunch break when you're fighting a war. But that's what they did those days. And of course, what happened next after lunch was over? Oh, I mean, they had some understanding. that, you know, the communist troops would go one way, the royalists would go the other way, so they wouldn't have to meet each other. Now that's called laid back. So why do people take things so seriously? Like wars. Why do we have wars in the first place? People get so tense and uptight and argue with one another. But so much else in this world, people are just so aggressive, so tight, so, what's it called, violent sometimes. They're just so uptight, like coiled up springs, and a small thing just makes them blow because they don't know how to relax. So, seeing examples of people relax and not taking life so seriously, even as far as wars, then that taught me just how to relax. You know, these days, people, I was going to actually read this. I've got a little quote out here. Here it is. So how can we learn how to relax? This is an old saying. If you can start the day without caffeine, how many of you have to have a cup of coffee before, you know, you're human when you first get up? If you can start the day without caffeine, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with all your troubles, well, I'll be out of a job if that happened. If you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and just be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can conquer tension without any medical help, and if you can relax without having to take alcohol, and you can sleep at night without the aid of drugs, then who are you? You are the family dog. So they are the ones who've got their act together. We're the stupid ones. I'll just read it out again. They know the answer. If you can start the day without caffeine, you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains. If you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day, be grateful for it. If you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, those who look at you. And if you can conquer tension without medical help. Look at our dogs, they can sleep anywhere. They don't have to go to all these special orthopedic beds and pillows and stuff to be able to sleep. They don't need air cons or blankets, they just sleep anywhere. If you can conquer tension without medical help. Have you ever seen a dog being tense? Do they have to go and have a massage to loose their tensions? If you can relax without alcohol and you can sleep without aid of drugs. Dogs can sleep anytime, anywhere. Sometimes, have you ever been jealous of them? So why can they actually do that? Now, one of the things is that they do know how to not carry so much worries and troubles around. We are always looking at the stuff of our past, what happened to us, why it happened to us. And that's what makes us different than the dog. We worry too much. And we plan too much. And are anxious too much. Why do we do that? We've been taught to do that. And that means it's so difficult to relax. When we've got so many problems we have to think about and do. Which is one of the reasons why I want to start a society. A society for the promotion of irresponsibility. We are far too responsible in today's world. What do we mean by that? We don't know how to play around and have some fun. You know that, I'm not sure if you've seen this little clip, but somebody once sent me a picture, a photograph of bus stops in Montreal. Now, you know the bus stops we have here in Perth, in Western Australia? You know, maybe they've got some covering to protect you from rain. Maybe they've got a bench. And some of them just got a little post in the ground saying, bus stop. But the people in Montreal are far more advanced. Because at their bus stops, they have swings. Like in the playground at school when you were young. So when you're waiting for the bus, you get on one of the swings, you go backwards and forwards, which is therapeutically highly relaxing. Which means that when the executives go to work, they on the swings before they go to work, and when they go to work, they're a much better boss. Swings aren't just for kids, they should be for executives as well. And politicians. It would be wonderful in our local parliament we could have a playground. It would have to be segregated according to political affiliations, of course. But at least they could swing around a little bit, and it works. It was actually so popular, people said, some sociologists who checked up on it found that many people were enjoying themselves on the swing when a bus came and said, I'll get on the next one, I'm having too much fun. What they were doing, they were prioritizing something much more important than achieving things. Because what we're trying to achieve, we got priorities wrong. Thinking that to be successful in life, we have to be rich, we have to be given prestige at work, to make advancements on our career path. And all the monks at Bodhinyana Monastery know, I tell them just, don't get promotions on your career path of being a monk or a nun. If you ever become an abbot, you'll end up like me, just doing too much. But I do know how to relax when I go on the aircraft, or when you go onto the, except if you're sitting next to a Western Bulldog player, or if you, oops, or that was the team that I was sitting next to. Big guys, you know, I was pretty squashed, and they couldn't say, could you move over please? That was the last thing to say. But anyway, there you were. You learn how to relax. And what do you want to get promotion for? I tell people in Singapore, I started this, they said, now we really want to get on in the world. I want to get a promotion. I said, what do you want to get a promotion for? That's dumb. Haven't you got enough stress already? So what do you want more stress for? Now, more responsibility. More sort of work, more people to worry about. They said, oh, because I get more money. But is it ever enough? For me, it's much better to have less stress and the not enough money you're earning now than the not enough money you'll earn when you get the salary increase. It's never enough, except when you become a monk. When you become a monk, it's never enough, because it's nothing at all. That is the very, very, very best. You know, it's always good fun being a monk, because every now and again, somebody asks you, sort of, how much do you earn? You have to fill it out on forms. And you say nothing. So, how do you live? I say, very well. Without so much worries. So, when you learn how to relax, what you're really doing is this wonderful little saying is, when you want something more, you cannot enjoy what you already have. So it is the trick to learning how to relax is learning from time to time not to want anything. And then you can enjoy what you've already worked so hard to get, to achieve. Oh, it was years and years and years and years ago when people would ask me, so Bodhinyana Monastery where I live, when's it going to be finished? When's it going to be finished? We're always working there. Even now we've got projects on. Is it going to be finished yet? And the answer is that what lets me learn how to relax and not worry about things and being irresponsible was this story I've often quoted from this monk in Thailand, Ajahn Buddha Dasa. And His story was he was doing the building of his monastery, his main hall. And when it comes to our retreat period, we have retreats, monks' retreats. So this is usually from the full moon day of July to the full moon day of October. And already this evening somebody said, can you please come to Sri Lanka for a conference? I can't, because it's retreat time. You know, you do say no, this is the time just to relax. So, there is a time when we relax, we go and retreat. And this was actually the time this monk in South Thailand, he sent all the builders home. He said, it's retreat time now, go home, come back again in 3 months. And a couple of days later, a visitor came to that temple, and they were just commenting about, oh, when are you going to finish your hall? Like people always say, when's it going to be finished? Like maybe building a house, or renovating the carport, or whatever else you do in your life. When's it going to be finished? And this monk replied straight away, it is finished. To which the visitor said, are you going to leave this building without a roof? Are you going to leave the cement bags all over the place and pieces of timber all over the place? Are you not going to put any glass in the windows? What do you mean it's finished? To which this monk replied, sir, what's done is finished. And then he went off to meditate. That is how to relax. What's done is finished. So when you go to work on Monday, and your big boss says, have you finished the report? You tell him, boss, what's done is is finished. Obviously you've got to use that with wisdom. Not like one of the first times I told that story. And just after telling that story on a Sunday, a couple of parents came to complain to me. So we're not going to bring our son to listen to you anymore. So what did I do wrong? I said, that story, what's wrong with it? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. On Saturday night, our 16-year-old son said he was going off to a party. And we told him, do you remember your agreement, son? You say you finish your homework and only then go to the party. Have you finished your homework? That's what they said. Dad, Mum, just as Ajahn Brahm said, what's done is finished, see you tomorrow. Got in big trouble for that. But actually, I would support the kid there. You can finish it tomorrow. Why is it your whole life, nothing is ever finished? Monasteries aren't finished. Paying off your mortgage isn't finished. People are crazy. As soon as they've almost finished their mortgage, they build an extension, upgrade the kitchen, do something else. Crazy people. So, what's done is finished. You finished the weekend. So, why not enjoy the weekend? I've had got all plans. What are you going to do this weekend? What are you going to do this weekend? Lots of plans. Tear them up. I challenge you to relax and do nothing the whole weekend. Can you do that? If not, why not? Otherwise, you're never going to find any peace and learn how to relax in life. We always think, when I get this done, then I'll relax. When I get this finished, then I'll have an easy time. And sometimes you find life never finishes. We can only relax when we give relaxation importance, when we give it high priority, instead of getting things done. Why is it we always have to get things out of the way? To get things done. To finish things. You know, sometimes I was going to a psychology conference. They said that's actually part of autism. Sometimes people have to finish it. They have to finish it, and they go crazy if they don't finish something. We all have that crazy tendencies. But you look at life. Life is always work in progress. Life is always unfinished business. That is the meaning of life. You can't get things settled and done and put aside. Now I can put that to bed, as I said, it's all done and finished. That doesn't exist. But the autistic character of human beings, I mean, these ordinary human beings, is always, if it's not finished, we worry about it, we obsess about it, and we can't find any peace until it is finished. Almost like obsessive compulsive disorder. We all have that to a certain extent. Until we realize it doesn't have to be finished. You don't have to check all your emails. You don't have to wash all the dishes before you can relax. You know my saying? When you go home, before you wash all the dishes in the kitchen, what should you do? Count the number of clean dishes. Count the number of dirty dishes. And if the clean ones outnumber the dirty ones, quit while you're ahead. Why not? You got some clean ones to use tomorrow morning. Why? What's the point of having dishes? Just to stack them up clean so they look good in the kitchen shelves? Or to use? You got some to use tomorrow. So wonderful. Why can't we do that? Instead of always just having to get things done before we can take some peace. And it's because we don't know how to appreciate our world. We're so divorced from nature. You just go anywhere in nature and you find it's never finished. It's always work in progress. You never see the stream or the river stop. It's always flowing. The rain stops for a few moments, but it's going to come again. It's never finished. The wind blows. Where it comes from, nobody knows. Where it goes to, no one can tell. You only know the wind when it passes your face, your skin. You can feel it then. That's life. So all of you are looking at the past. Where did this moment come from? Looking at who did what and why they did it and what you did, that is just trying to find out where the wind came from. Worrying about the future is like worrying about where's the wind going to go to next. You only know the wind when it passes you. So don't be stupid and just bother yourselves with what's going to happen next, or where this moment came from. We can just learn how to relax. Because learning how to relax the mind, relax your life, you can learn that from starting on something you should be able to relax, your body. If you can't relax your body, why do people have to pay big money to go to a spa to relax? I've never been to a spa. I don't need to go to a spa. I just meditate. That's my spa. Just need just to feel the body. And you can feel it relaxing because sometimes you feel like muscles being pulled or squashed. There's pressure on them, stress on them. And especially like your muscles being stretched. You know, and that's a lot of time the stress in the body. Muscles are being stretched for too long and they get very sore. So when I learn how to relax my body, and dogs do this naturally, they just curl down and everything gets very loose. They're not holding things, they're not pulling on things. And often I use the visualization. On my own body, I visualize an elastic band. Just something, you know, you used to, a common item. You know, elastic band, when you pull both ends, it gets stretched. That's stress. If you let go of both ends of the elastic band, you know, not just one end and shoot it at one of the other monks. I mean, you know, we do play around a little bit in the monasteries. Because sometimes you'd be shocked at how much we play around. But anyway, I think that's a really good thing. You know, we have fun, we enjoy each other's company. But anyway, what was it that somebody threw a piece of cheese at one of the monks? The other one said, that's not mature. I got you on a terrible joke. Anyway, there's bad jokes around. They actually make you relax. Thank you for your reaction. So, when you actually stretch a piece of a rubber band, it does give this tension there. But when you loosen it, it becomes all natural and soft, and you know, it's quite safe. Just like my body, I imagine it's an elastic band. Somehow or other, something or other is pulling on both ends. You know, sometimes I imagine, use visualization, because visualization helps you relax your own body. I visualize like two little monsters, two tiny little demons, imps, fairies, whatever you wish to call them, and they're just pulling at either end of your muscles. I imagine them, and I tell them to let go. And the muscle just relaxes. And because of mindfulness, you can actually feel it relax. It feels nice and soft. The pain disappears. You can relax. That is one of the reasons why people have insomnia, because they don't know how to relax. I've never yet seen a dog with insomnia. Dogs can sleep anywhere. So, why can't you? Relaxing the body first of all. Otherwise, I notice myself sometimes I've been working a lot or traveling, and sometimes you go to bed, you lie down. I don't have a bed, I just have a mat on the floor. It's maybe an inch, 1.5 inches thick. It's really comfortable. But you relax, or you lay down on the ground, on the floor, and you just go through your body pretty quickly, relaxing every muscle in the body, just relaxing it. For goodness sake, don't count sheep. That's a crazy way. Just, you know, mass makes your head hurt. So you don't count sheep. You just feel your body and start relaxing it. You don't need sleeping tablets if you know how to relax the body. One of my friends over in Sydney, she told me, she's a Buddhist, a meditator, she said that she many years ago started an internet site for people with insomnia, and she made herself a fortune, she told me, just teaching people how to relax the body through mindfulness. And she called it sleeplikeababy.com. And she told me 100% success rate. People with insomnia could actually learn how through mindfulness to relax the body. Here we teach the same, only we undercut her market. We're bad for her business, but she's doing okay. So all you need to do is just learn how to relax the body, especially starting with your legs. So you feel the tightness there. And imagine like two little imps, and imagine two things relaxing. And you can actually feel it because the sensation changes. And mindfulness, the awareness, gives you the information whether you're going in the right direction. You relax your whole legs and your thighs and your bottom, the back relaxes as well. It's not that hard to do with some awareness. Awareness checks, is it working, is it not working? It gives you the feedback, as I keep on saying. And then you learn how to relax all of your body to the point where it's just so easy to lay down and go to sleep. So often it's the body tension which creates the inability to go to sleep. And of course it's not just the sense of tension in the body, because much of that tension in the body apparently is the result of emotional difficulties or problems you've had during the day. It's almost like that emotional reaction gets stuck in your body. And so it does need to just be relaxed. First of all, then you can actually have a beautiful night's sleep. Not only that, but at least you can feel that that's how you can relax your body. Once you can learn how to relax your body, it's exactly the same method to relax your mind, to relax your world, so you don't have to be so tense all the time. And how you do that, again, is what is pulling and pushing your mind? What's stressing? What causes stress? It's something being pulled or pushed. That's called stress. And of course you should soon work out, once you get the right metaphor, imagine your mind being stretched. One end is being stretched to the past, still, you know, having to deal with stuff which happened earlier on today, or last week, or years ago. What was pulling at you? I've got to figure this out, I've got to deal with it. And it just keeps pulling you away from this moment. And of course, the future is another end of that rope, pulling you off into the future, worried about what you're going to do next, where you're going to do it, how you're going to do it, what's going to happen. And of course, my saying is that now is where your future is being made. Now is the only time you can do anything about your future. If you relax in this present moment, it's the best you can possibly do for your future. That's how you prepare to survive life. Not by worrying about it, but being in this moment. Look, you know, if you've got some terrible disease like a cancer or heart disease, just worrying about it makes it much worse. You know, you're killing yourself with worry. So, and a worry, panic, can it kills more people than anything else, in my opinion. So just relax in the present moment. You don't need to worry about, you know, whether this cancer or this heart disease is going to kill you. As my teacher used to say, you either get better or you die. So it doesn't really matter either way. And anyway, if you don't die, if you do get better, you're only just putting off the inevitable. You're going to die soon. So if you die young, it just means you don't have to go to the old people's homes. And I've been to some old people's homes, and sometimes there's not much quality of life. As the government keeps on cutting back and cutting back and cutting back, unless you can go to a private home because you're rich. If you're poor like me, then sometimes you really want to go to... People actually say if you eat healthy food and exercise, you get an extra 5 years on your life. But which part of your life is it added on to? It's not the end of it. So, it's worth asking that question anyway. Quality of life, obviously, is much more important than length of life. People always say that, quality of life. So why are you sacrificing the quality of life by worrying about what's going to happen next? This is where you have quality of life right now. So, after a while, you always find yourself being stretched all this time. And that causes a stress in the mind, and that's even worse than stress in the body. We don't know how to relax, we don't know how to let go. And because of that stress in the mind, I gave it another simile of being like a guitar string. And when a guitar string is stretched, the tighter it is stretched, when something hits it, it really makes a high-pitched sound. And when it's not stretched so much, it makes a lower-pitched sound. When it's hardly stretched at all, it makes a very low sound. When it's not stretched at all, it makes no sound at all. That's like people's resilience, the way they react to some of the unpleasant things which happens in life. Some people are so tight, they're being pulled and pushed. They're like a tight guitar string. Anything hits it and it really pings. And sometimes you're so relaxed that people shout out at you, you know, you are you should get a proper job, Ajahn Brahm. You're just a parasite. You just eat other people's donations and food. You should go to work and find out how the real world lives. You should go, why don't you go and get married? Are you scared of relationships, Ajahn Brahm? Why is it? Whatever it is, people love criticizing you and telling you off. But you know, if you have a very soft mind, if your guitar string is not stretched, you don't react. It's only when you are tense that you react. So it's wonderful actually when people do try and tell you off, when they shout at you, when they... I just remember this one fellow, he used to be our caretaker here many years ago. He said the way he became a Buddhist was he went to a talk many, many, many years ago, maybe 35, 40 years ago, and he went to a talk in Melbourne in a public library, and there was a Tibetan monk who was supposed to give the talk. And before the Tibetan monk even opened his mouth, one of these extremist evangelical people sort of stood up and said, "I've been called by Jesus to witness to you. You're evil. You're going to send people to hell. Don't listen to this guy." And he was shouting at this monk all the time, "You're evil. You're taking people to hell." But the monk, he just sitting there, just smiling, never said anything. And for about 40 minutes, this guy was carrying on. Other people telling him, "Shut up, we didn't come to hear you, we come to hear the monk." But he kept on, and everyone else was getting very uptight. But this particular monk was always peaceful all the time. And eventually the 45 minutes was up, they had to vacate the library, that's all they'd hired it for. So he said he never got to hear any words from this monk. He didn't need to, just to see his reaction. He could be shouted at, accused, blamed, and he was just peaceful all the time. His reaction of being so relaxed that he never said anything back. He said that was really impressive, he'd never seen that before. And that was because, you know, monks like that, we're just so soft, so peaceful, you can say anything to us. This is not an invitation, by the way. But it's happened in the past. You just sit there, okay, whatever you want. But that only happens when you really, really, your guitar strings are very, very loose. Things hit it and nothing occurs. Like I remember this one lady, she called me up to the hospital. I think it was the old Prince Edward Hospital for women. She was a very great supporter of our monastery in the early days. And she, when I got, she was really important, and she'd just been told that she had lung cancer, inoperable, she'd maybe had a couple of weeks to live. Yeah, just sometimes it happens out of the blue. She thought it was hay fever, but you know, her breathing difficulties was a big tumour in her lungs. But anyway, when I went there, she was laughing, she was at peace with what was going to happen, she lived a very good life, she wasn't afraid of death. And she was telling me all of her arrangements for the funeral. And she was telling me, she was a Thai girl. She said, "Please don't let the Thai people know where I am. They'll come and bother me. Tell them all they can see me once I'm in my coffin. Ha ha ha." She was telling jokes. And as soon as I went out of the room in the hospital, this old nurse grabbed me by the shoulder and pulled me into a side room. It was actually the matron of the hospital at the time. And she said, "Glad you've come, glad you've come. She's in denial, she's in denial." "What do you mean she's in denial? She's not admitting that she's going to die. What are you talking about? She's just arranged her funeral." Because the first time that she'd seen with her own eyes somebody who just told she's going to die and was totally at peace with it and ease with it. Because, you know, she was relaxed. Are you relaxed when your loved one gets sick? Or when they're about to die, or they do die? If you haven't known how to relax, you will really overreact. It doesn't help anyone. Yeah, it's natural in the sense it's common, but it's not necessary. If you learn how just to relax, then you get incredibly resilient. So whatever happens to you in life, it's like the guitar string which is so loose, so-called tragedies happen, and doesn't react, doesn't make a sound, because it's loose, you're not tense. Sometimes that's one of the reasons why grief in our modern world has increased enormously since I was young. You know, people cry much more, and they grieve much longer. You know, no, my father died when I was 16. My mother didn't grieve that long. And she just got on, carried on, because she was much more relaxed. So some of the tension which we have in life, because we've pulled up worry of the future and just keep dragging on the past, that is causing the inability to relax. You know, you have a weekend. So you don't have to do anything, but you're worried. What I have to do when I go back to work? Look, I teach this for schools. It works at schools. It works for sport. Why can't it work in every other part of your life? At schools, you tell people, before you do an examination, for goodness sake, don't do any studies. The day before, 24 hours before the examination, just go for a walk, eat your favorite food, watch a movie. For goodness sake, do not get out your textbooks and revise. And the last time I taught that was at Carmel School here in Dianella, you know, the Jewish school. And after telling that just before the year 12s, I got a letter back a couple of months later from the principal. He never actually came to my talks, but he said, thank you very much. We got the highest results in year 12 in the whole of Western Australia. We think it's because of you. Thank you so much. I should have kept that first from the principal. It works. You know, if you're going to have to perform and you're anxious, you haven't relaxed, your brain is worn out before you even get into the examination room. If you've got some work to do, which is very demanding, if you worry about it beforehand, by the time you even pick up that job to do, you're already exhausted. How crazy are we? If we don't know how to relax, we don't know how to be productive. And this is one of the things I was telling in Melbourne. It's not about how much work you get done in such a certain amount of time. It's not about productivity. It's not just about being at the desk, being in front of the computer. It's how productive are you? How well do you spend that time when you're on the job? And that's where relaxation is important. Relaxation is not goofing off. It's not really being irresponsible. It's actually really being responsible for your own happiness, health, productivity, well-being. So you can perform in a very competitive world, and not only perform in a very competitive world, you can also enjoy and have a lot of happiness and peace in your life when you know how to relax. And sometimes you just look at people's body language, they don't know how to relax. They don't know how to let things go. Just like those soldiers in Laos. You let war go for a while and have dinner. So have an argument, you know, at home with your partner. Just have a rule that all those arguments stop for lunch. Could you do that? Very few couples can do that. But people at war in Laos can do that. And they're not fighting with words, they're fighting with M16s, bullets. And they can just put it aside and have lunch. Could you do that? It'd be wonderful if you could, because it puts things into perspective. And when you relax, the argument is not so important. You know, you're just not so tense, not a guitar string. So, you understand what it is. And sometimes you may understand how it feels. But it only works if you give it priority, if you give it a chance, if you realize how valuable it is to spend time off every now and again. And don't keep on saying, I will have to get this done first, I want it done now. Too many people are doing that. Even today, somebody came up, can you please ask this monk to do that job quickly? I said, no. Do it later. What's a big rush for? Ba 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 ba. The quality of life is more important than getting things done. Otherwise, you know, why are you living? Why do you keep working so hard for? When's it ever going to be done? When can you ever take time off? And people say we've got lots of resources, lots of money here in Australia, whether you say you haven't or you have, but what we haven't got much of his time. How can we make more time? It's very easy. You make time by not spending it on the past or wasting it on the future. Just like money. It's wasted money If you can keep it in this present moment now, just learn how to be, not always going somewhere, not always achieving things, not always finishing things, but actually be here. Every now and again, it's not just coming to a temple you hear this. You see this when I travel up here from Serpentine most Fridays to teach you guys. Every now and again there's I missed it today, we didn't have a traffic jam on the freeway. I was so disappointed. Because I love traffic jams. They teach you what Buddhism is. You can't move. You can't go faster. You are totally out of control. You just have to go with the flow. Literally. And don't think change lanes. The next lane is a faster lane. There's always, I found this out, it's a very easy truth. What's the fastest lane on the freeway in a traffic jam? It's always the one you're not in. The other ones always go faster. So stay the one you're in, because it's going to be slow whichever one you choose. So, what traffic jams show us that control freaks, they're the ones who suffer. The people who just can relax, because there's nothing you can do. You're in a traffic jam. Relax. Enjoy the scenery. You know, at least you can relax if you've lost all your points for speeding. At least you know you can't be caught for speeding in a traffic jam. And it's just nature's way of teaching you to slow down in our modern world. We can't rush. Life is out of control. And even our schedules are out of control. You can't just always be on time for things. Many occasions I've been late for things. I think it's wonderful being late for things. Late for somebody's marriage once, not my fault. Traffic jam. Late for a funeral. I remember ringing up and saying, doesn't matter, the person in the box won't complain. Always messing around. So, in other words, you don't take it, you can't do anything about it. That's a nice thing. And even better than that, the stop signs. To me, the stop signs at the intersections are the most wonderful inventions. You have to stop. They remind you about life. Why don't you stop every now and again? It's a weekend. Stop. And relax and enjoy the time you have. But apparently it was in, where was it? I think they said it was in Bangalore or somewhere. Somebody actually told me that where this was. I thought it was in Delhi, but I was misinformed. There's another place in India. It's a great spiritual country, India. They don't have stop lights. When the lights go red, they have the words, R-E-L-A-X. Relax. So whenever you see a stop sign, whether it's a red stop sign at intersection or the traffic lights, we should rename them. Relax lights. Reminding people to stop every now and again and just be mindful, be in this moment. You can't do anything anyway. So don't go checking the messages. Don't go listening to the music. Don't go doing stuff, just enjoy the moment. Be here and relax. Because when you're not trying to be pulled to get to your destination, when you're not being dragged back to the past, you can actually be here. How many people think, oh, time has flown so fast. It's already almost the middle of the year, coming into June soon. It was only just the new year a few days ago. How old are you now? Years go so fast when you're not here. That's the problem. It's not that time goes fast. It's we're very rarely here when it happens. That's why it flies past so quickly. So you find the more you relax, the more you stay here, the more you stop, the more time you have. And that's how we overcome being time poor. We're here when it happens. Life is not that long, so please enjoy it while it's here. This is all the time you have. Soon you'll be 60, 70, 80. Soon you'll be in your box. Please, and that's the only time I say when they write on your grave, R.I.P. To me, that's too late. You should R.I.P. before you die, so you can enjoy it. Otherwise, you'll be the richest person in the cemetery, but usually just the most stress that killed you before your time. And you never enjoyed any time. You were hardly here in this life. You're always somewhere else. Always going places. Always lingering in the past, but never really here. So if you understand what I'm saying, you understand how you can relax. Being here is more important than any destination. So enjoy this moment, this whole weekend, as much as you can. Do less, be here more, and then the time is much longer. Then you're no longer time poor, when you know how to relax. And many of the other physical and emotional problems just sort themselves out, simply because you're not a tight guitar string anymore. And things, they impact on you and you don't react. You don't make any sound because you're loose at both ends. Da da da. Thank you for stopping long enough to listen. Very good. Now see what complaints we have today. Or maybe, who knows, some compliments. Very good. Here we are. The first question from Austria, Scotland in the USA. My sister is suffering and not realizing the core problem, then coming to me with all her problems. How do I help her and not get burnt out if she never follows my advice anyway? It doesn't matter people don't follow your advice. I've been teaching here for 30 years and people don't follow my advice, but I still come back next Friday. But the only way, if you help without expecting anything back in return, in other words, you have to listen to your sister. She's your sister. She comes to you with her problems. And you have to be what my master Ajahn Chah said, a trash can. So your sister dumps everything in you. I get many people telling me about their marriage problems. Why me? I became a monk to escape from those problems. But you can't escape. If you don't have your own marriage problems, people tell you about theirs. I never had kids, but people tell me about all their children problems. I don't go to work, but they keep telling me about their boss problems. But I'm very happy to do that, but I always remember the teaching, be a trash can, let people just dump stuff in me. But to be the trash can with the hole in the bottom. So they dump as much trash as they want in me, and I don't keep any of it. It just goes right through. So when I see the next person, I'm empty, and I don't carry it back with me. Many counselors forget that, so have these incredible problems, which they hear, and they get depressed, and they get negative. They'll take it out on their husbands, or wives, or children, or some of them. There's one lady here, in the very early days, she committed suicide. She was a counsellor, jumped off Garrett Road Bridge. Whew. And it's because she kept the problems. She had a wonderful husband, a wonderful kid. Oh, I don't know if people remember him. He used to come in the old days, and we teased him a bit, the kid. We always used to say, what's your name? And he said, 12 o'clock. He didn't know the difference between the name and telling the time. And we never helped because we kept on asking him, and just we supported that sort of misunderstanding by always laughing. So anyway, but he was a wonderful little kid, Jamie. Remember him. But his mum sort of committed suicide because she was a counsellor. Many people would come up to her and tell her her problems, and she would keep them all. So please, for goodness sake, as soon as you've heard your your sister's problems in this case, let it go immediately. Listen with kindness, but be that rubbish bin with a hole in the bottom, so you're empty for the rest of life. It's another way of letting go of the past. I have found that I am much more relaxed in starting meditation 3 years ago. Yay! How can I remain relaxed in a stressful situation? Meditate more. So then, what happens is it does give you that resilience. Because you meditate, because you know how to relax, stressful situations don't impact you so much. You are like the loose guitar string. Ping it, it doesn't make any sound. So that's actually just how, or like a sack of potatoes. You hit it, and it doesn't make any sound. This thing is so tight and tense, bang, and it makes a sound. Or, you know, this glass here will crack. You know, if I hit this glass with it, that'll probably crack. I hit this, it doesn't make any sound at all. Sack of potatoes. So that's how you can, you relax because starting meditation, carry on, and you find you have much more resilience because, you know, you're loose on both ends. I used to bring work home when I was doing my PhD. After that I don't, and now have more relaxed life. Excellent. But I sometimes feel guilty for not attempting to work as my peers. No, you make sure your peers work like you, not the other way around. You're the wise one. Why allow them to drag you into their stupidity? You're doing the right job. And after a while, people actually realize that is the way to go. That is the way to have a more relaxed life, more quality of life, and actually to become more productive as well. It's not the length of time you work, it's how productive you are. That is what's most important. Okay, any questions from the floor other than can we go now? That's usually the most popular question. Okay, fair enough. I've heard that question. So, let us bow a few times to Buddha Dhamma Sangha, and those who wish to go can go. Those who wish to have some more questions, my rubbish bin is totally empty, so you can come and unload some more trash in me.
Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādhe suvākkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi.
Very good.